says, you and Spats calling with no headache. I'm not quite sure how that's managed. Foot's damaged, the bruise is going on, and it's been a long 2 weeks, but we're nearly there. And we had a result last night, and it's got us all talking. It's your Eurovision Insight Morning Podcast. Second last morning chat show here from Dusseldorf at the Esprit Arena, which is no longer called the Esprit Arena because they couldn't afford the sponsorship. That was the only fans of Vodafone Network Group, Schwarzkopf, and the EBU themselves. We have a panel today, 3 out of 4. The traffic is delaying our fourth panel member, who may or may not turn up by the end of the podcast. There we go. I can get a little bit of tension in as well. But first up, in the Ed McMahon chair, we have Samantha Roth. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
You were here before me.
I know, terrified.
Did you just sleep under the table or something?
Oh, yeah. I've actually tunneled a series of underground tunnels for myself.
I know if any English, Scottish, or Welsh person imagined making tunnels in Germany, we would have been shocked.
Well, there are certain things an American can get away with, I suppose.
Indeed, yes. We also joined us by our intrepid photographer, Stephen Yeby, back from his adventures with Blue.
Good morning.
45 minutes with the boys.
Yes, it was. It was very insightful, yeah.
And we have it all up on the website, and you've got your little tape with it and everything as well.
Absolutely.
Yes. www.escinsight.com will give you Steve's articles, my articles, and podcasts, all of that, and more, not just throughout Eurovision and into the final tomorrow, but also throughout the year as well. Joining us is a third member of the panel, a man who on Twitter quite a few people were asking for last night. It's Paddy O'Connell from Radio World Series 4 BBC around the net.
That covers it, and it's great to see your pod being cast, because I've been relying on our jukebox jurors to steal informed views.
Oh, I think you're fan-hungry going through. I knew it weeks ago.
And to see you here in this pod is for me, a great honour. Thank you for having me on your couch.
Yes, and all that research, where did it go?
Well, it went straight into my ears and straight out of my mouth as if it was my own views.
These BBC commentators are dime a dozen, aren't they? Anyway, Paddy, great to have you. Let's start with you. Obviously, you're known in the UK as the, how do we say this politely, ex-presenter of the semi-finals.
Sacked.
Okay, the sacked presenter. But you had a lot for the contest before, and it's obviously still there that you dragged yourself out here again.
Yes, I mean, I've got over myself because, unlike many fans who pay to come here for, say, the last 7 years, I came here and was working here. So it was a great joy and a privilege to have 7 years. And I may get maybe back again for the BBC in other years, so I'm not ruling it out. And also, I did do 2 programmes for BBC World, which I've recorded already. So I've come here with a great lot of fun and time on my hands. I've been doing many more things than I normally have time for, so it's been a great time.
Do you have an alibi for Tuesday night?
Where was I on Tuesday night?
Because there seems to be an awful lot of problem with all the commentators' voices going out. It's almost as if somebody wanted to draw attention to how important that role was. So I just wanted to check that we could trace your movements.
It is extraordinary that should happen in Germany. I don't know what my fellow couchies think of that. But, I mean, under national prejudice rules, if there's going to be a technics problem, you'd think it's going to happen outside Germany.
Probably the one that was most affected was Norway, I believe, and of course that wasn't one of the qualifiers, so I'm sure there'll be a few stewards inquiries, shall we say, being carried out on that one.
Yeah, I think you've got to be honest, that's a really big deal. If you are in Norway, one of the kind of corners of Eurovision in a way, it's really upsetting. I mean, I don't know if one of the big 5 would even put up with that. They'd probably have a rerun, wouldn't they?
I'm not quite sure what they could do with it. They may certainly put, it also depends on the result. If Norway were 11th by 2 points, maybe there's an argument for saying, we'll put them through the semi-final, we'll put them through into the grand final, but then what are you going to do with the other contestants? What are you going to do with the other songs? I don't know what can do. What is intriguing, though, is that 5 of the Scandinavian countries, if you count Estonia, that makes got through. Only Norway was the only one that didn't get through to Saturday night, which is going to hurt.
Yeah, that actually really surprised me, considering that there was all this talk about, Estonia being a little bit of a hot mess in Sweden, all the difficulties that they were having with their glass breaking, and Norway was the only one that didn't make it through. I mean,
something for your podcast fans knows that we are sharing the press centre with Alexander Rybak. I know I pronounced his name wrong. And he looked very glum, I thought. yesterday for a former winner and a man whose, you know, his career has benefited a great deal from the contest. He really looked like it smelled a bit of old fish, or someone had trodden his bone. It really, you know, and so I think it's very important to pay tribute to Norway's fans. I think they do feel bruised, and probably, I don't know, that, as you said, it's probably more to know, but I feel their pain.
And all these fans will more than likely have grand final tickets. They kind of have to balance off that I love the contest, I'm going to the grand final, and I might not be there.
And I think we can go further and say they weren't going to win. I mean, you know, so in a way, hopefully the spirit of the event will overtake those sketches. I mean, it may not have influenced the result. I'm just saying I can see why there's a sticking post.
We'll have lots to talk about when they actually reveal those voting results, both. And of course, it could be that she did so disastrously that the jury nothing could have happened on the public vote, could have pulled her up to 10th place. We don't know yet.
Of course, I think my view is a rubbish song anyway. Perhaps that's why it didn't qualify.
No, we don't want. There, you can't do that. We've got to keep the judges on side for the rest of the year. We've got Ultimate Jukebox Jury running through the summer, trying to find the best Eurovision song of all time. We've got all the other fun and games. You know, we don't want. You know,
don't censor your couch. Your couch is your biggest virtue.
That is, yes, but, you know, Stephen, you've got to keep Stephen a good chance with me as well. Otherwise, he'll throw a cup of coffee over me. Right then, and the other thing is, you know, there's 43 countries here, only one of them can win. You know, 42 performers.
It's very well summarised by you and there, isn't it? Yes. I mean, you know, in fact, you could have a draw, remember?
Well, we can't actually, no. There's all the way back through.
Count backs all the way down.
Yeah. Even on the jury, if the jury ends up as a draw, okay, Eurovision Paddy Test, the jury vote is a draw.
Get ready for the foil.
Okay? And the count back is a draw. It's exactly the same votes. How do they decide?
I would guess it's something to do with the position in the draw or something at random.
Pierre Cardinal coin flip?
Nope.
Is it alphabetical name?
Nope. The youngest member of the jury is the casting vote.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know.
Unlike the local election back in the UK, where it was cutting cards to get council seat. I can't remember what seat it was, but that was fun. So let's have a look at the rest of the results from the semi-final. To be honest, even if we called this in March, Stephen, we probably would have got 9 of these, just on sort of previous form. It wasn't as revolutionary as semi-final one was.
No, I think it actually proved one thing to me, that perhaps it is the song that comes through. I mean, that Dara International, I think, was a foregone conclusion that she was going to get through because of the name. Clearly that didn't happen. Interesting to see where she did come. I thought last night was actually a very good reflection on the fact that proper songs actually did very, very well. There was the odd distraction, of course. There was Ukraine, which I'm not quite sure what that was about. But other than that, I'm actually really, really happy with that. We'll go through.
It's also nice to see both Bosnia and Austria running first and second going through. We knew they were strong songs, but previously, you know, is it running first and second? You know, you might not have given them a chance, but they clearly went through. First five didn't in semi-final one. First two did in semi-final two. There is a lot for saying that the song contest and the EBU are kind of getting the balance that's needed in the voting and diaspora and spreading out.
Well, I think, do you remember the semi-final when no one from the West went through? Was it in Belgrade, the year that Denmark sent the drag queen? Was that Belgrade?
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, I think it was even around running about in 06 as well.
There was one semi when no one from the West went through, and there was people. I remember how very upset people were. It became very difficult to predict, and I think that you were kind enough to ask me for my picks, and I'm normally disastrous, but I think I got 9 out of 10, and that's very unusual for me. So I think maybe what's happening is that the vote is getting more in line with what people expect, which calms everyone down, and it makes it think, you know, here's a beautiful Austrian girl with a nice bob. She sings in tune, her teeth are white, she's smiling. We haven't seen Austria in the contest for 3 years. They haven't won it since the dinosaurs roamed. And not only that, it's a big story for them because it's a Germanic sort of event, so it's very good for Austria. You know, so you can sort of see it.
It's also, politically wise, good for the song contest. You know, Austria has come back to the contest and has got through. Sweden stopped the rot by hour. To be honest, I'm not quite sure because I remember watching what the jury scored, and I'm surprised that Eric managed to do that together. I'm guessing it will be a popular public vote.
I think that's a bit mealy-mouthed. I think, you know, to have a good-looking boy from Sweden with lots of very tight choreography and a big box, I mean, you know, to be honest, that's a Eurovision, you know, that's ding-dong, a woo-woo. I mean,
and United watching what 50% of the vote was scored on, and it was half a beat behind the music.
To be fair to them, they pulled a pretty boy out of the box. That's what they did.
It was a show, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people would have liked it, me, not a lot. Indeed. So there we go. Bolden is also be playing the Edinburgh Fringe this year, so I get to take that joke on him as well. The diva of Israel versus Slovenia. 21st century wins there.
Yeah, evidently so, which makes, I'm very sort of surprised to see Dana not make it through, but not necessarily incredibly surprised. You know, I was half expecting her to get through on sort of the legacy vote of, you know, she's 10 international. But, you know, to see, it, again, as you said, it's about the song and not about the singer per se, and it's heartening to see that.
Apparently, she's already back in Tel Aviv. She got to 7 o'clock flight this morning. Not happily.
It's also notable that social security services are no longer roaming the building.
Yeah, but it's actually a bit of a lab security now.
Yeah, it's just like after the envelopes came out, all the security disappeared. I wonder what that's about.
I wonder as well.
I wonder as well. But the Slovenian song is probably the one that I've most fallen in love with during the technical and address rehearsals. When you listen to the studio version, it just doesn't have the power that Marty's able to put through on stage and through the camera. It's just, it's one of those spine-tingling songs that really works on television.
I mean, Asha Tkaninchev, which is the woman I first started covering the contest, one of the people who was very helpful and kind and friendly to me was Alexander from the Slovenian delegation. He's a sort of friend of mine. But they have, in the past, sent a mixture of very sort of operatic and challenging songs and a bit of old poppy rubbish. And I think what they've done this time is they've almost taken a leaf out of the sort of Azerbaijan book, you know, which is send a great big brassy old belter and a pair of thigh-high boots, get the song right, and deliver it to the camera. You know, that's not a bad way either. You just, as we've said, have a nice box which smashes the box of leather, that's another way in. Or a simple song sung in a clear way like Austria. I think you could say Slovenia is showy. It's going to appeal to quite a lot of the demographic in its own way. You know, I might say, obviously, you would.
The only issue is that Austria and Slovenia are drawn only two numbers across from each other in the final. So I'm worried that, you know, I think both Nadine and Maya have fantastic voices, especially, again, considering they're in their age. And I'm worried that they may cancel each other out.
Well, having said that, you know, I have a friend in the Slovenian delegation, I should go further and say that I actually prefer the Serbian song. So, I mean, you know, I'm not a patsy. I may be a paddy, but I'm not a patsy. There's something for me about the Serbian girl, which I can't explain. You know, as a gay man, I can't explain why I like this kid.
She, with the words Dusty and Springfield being there.
Well, I don't know. She's more original than being some sort of, imitation. So I mean, I love the women in the final. I love Hungary. And I love Serbia, and I like Slovenia. Who cares what I say now? I'm exhausting myself.
50-50, choose either Slovenia or Austria.
Austria.
Oh, that's hard. I'm going to say Slovenia.
Austria, I think. Absolutely.
You see, I'm going to say Slovenia as well, which means we need a casting vote, which means we need somebody who's going to turn up to Eurovision late, pop in, just do a day or two of travel, and then go home again. I possibly wonder who could that be. Welcome, after the traffic of Interpack, Europe's premier packing conference now, they're completely and utterly filling up every single road and travel, is John Jacob with Early Good. Hello, John.
Hi, sorry. I'm amazed that those are microphones. I'm amazed that any of you managed to get help.
John, nice to meet you.
You're right in that close. Really, very
nice to cheat my love on. We are
that's
John Jacob from Thoroughly Good.
Yeah, hello. Sorry I'm late. So, with the casting vote, what casting vote on what?
I've got Austria.
Of course, Slovenia.
That's Austria, obviously.
Yeah. There we go. Fairly
simple. Oh. So, John, it's been a while since you've been at the contest in the arena last night. Now you've had some time to think about it. How are you finding it?
Oh, I think the arena experience is both interesting and really quite hideous. In that I was surrounded by people with waving their flags, obviously very excitedly. They were very keen on various songs. The man to my left, he was supporting Moldova, and then shortly after, seemed to be supporting Armenia as well with the same flag. So clearly he was dual nationality, he was just a little noisy for me.
I've just realised we do have a slight problem with the seats, which is we don't have enough room for this entire panel because we're in the smaller studio just now. So does anybody have an urgent appointment that they have to go to that I can eject from the panel?
Yes, I have to put on...
Paddy needs to do an ejection.
Okay, it was my arm pretty, he's out on the side for next year.
I would just add that if you're in the wrong part of the arena at Eurovision, it's like sitting in a multi-story car park, because where they do clear a lot of the seats for the television dubbings, and you can feel like you're looking for your Volvo in a touch of story thing. And if someone really drag, it can be awful.
I'd like BBC to say the tune for the BBC.
But everything else is on the back of the BBC.
Yeah, always, always.
Always, always, always. Eric, are you great having a break? Can people keep an eye on what your adventures are just now?
I'm on Twitter, basically, at @Paddy_O_C.
And you're providing stuff throughout the next couple of days through the final as well.
I wouldn't go that far. Send me a picture of apples in a basket. And there's something miracle about them. Something about the rhyme, Don't look to me for anything interesting.
There we go. Apples in a basket from a man in a kilt. Paddy's great to have you. Thanks very much for popping on. John, we now have a seat for you. Paddy goes away there looking a bit like the Jesse from Street Hawk. Right then. It is a fantastic arena, though, Samantha. I mean, you've been watching television, and I think everyone else here has seen at least one Eurovision arena before. But for yourself, it's
all big and shiny. What can I say? It's my first Eurovision, and seeing it on the screen is wonderful, and I love it. Nice HDTV and whatnot. But actually being there and sort of absorbing the energy, getting whacked in the face with somebody's flag, I don't think there's anything like it. I'm not sure if I'd ever really go back to the TV.
For me, the volume last night clearly was pumped up more than on Tuesday night, but just wait until Saturday night when the whole audience start going. It is the most amazing noise I've ever heard, and it's happened now a few years for me, and it gets me every time.
My ears were ringing during Sweden's number, actually, and I wasn't terribly happy about that. I'm probably too old for Eurovision in the arena, because that's why I'm going home tonight in order to watch it in my front room. And you've all gone silent now, but you don't even know the hell I am. that's really not helping, is it? But the really and truly, the arena is great. I think the interesting thing about the arena is that you can sit and listen to a whole range of reasonably okay songs accompanied by the dull roar of the crowd. At the end of every song, you end up thinking, oh, that was really good too. But when you see it on television cropped with hardly any roar, or certainly not that sort of echoing effect, then you get an entirely different experience, which is why everybody's so judgmental when they're home. I'm all for watching on television. I don't understand why I don't want to find anything.
Well, let's face it, it's really just out of the US for a little while.
Is it that bad?
It's not that bad.
No, American Idol hasn't started yet, and they've got Cheryl Cole. It will be that bad very soon.
X Factor, yes.
Oh, dear. Yes, carry on, drinks on the table, that's fine. Yes, you're right, John, not someone from what people call the Eurovision fan circle, but someone that's new.
Okay, why?
Well, you've never been on one of our podcasts, you've never been on the Ultimate Jukebox Juries, no. Actually had you on the show before, even though I've been reading your stuff for Eurovision for a good 2 or 3 years now, so it's actually delighted to have you on the panel.
Well, I think I'm holding you to talk to me in that very accommodating way.
And the thing that I would love to talk to you about very briefly for the panel as well, because I have a little bit here saying, love Eurovision. For you, it's not a clean love, is it? It's just a sort of, why do I still love this?
Yeah, it's dirty. It's really dirty. I have a fascination. This will rapidly turn into therapy for both of you, obviously. The other people on the panel, we haven't spoken very much for him.
Well, we are sitting on a nice big comfy couch. Yeah, so
at least it's closed and it's relatively safe. But no, it's fascinating. It's like a bit of a car crash, and that's not necessarily to do with the acts, but more that there's something seductive about this Saturday night television programme. And I think that goes back to childhood, where most of us who've watched it for the first time watched it when our parents deemed it okay for us to stay up late. And so there's something of our childhood every time we approach the Eurovision. And I think people will shoot me for this, but I think possibly that's why so many people want to write about it and why they want to come along, because they all want to feel involved. They all want to have their 3 minutes on stage. I think that's what everybody is going for. And so the bittersweet thing is that obviously every single year, there are only a South Africa to get that 3 minutes on stage or get that moment of stardom. And so the end of the contest is always bitterly disappointing, frankly. And I've paid to come out here to tell you this, so, you know, that's another reason to be really down on the Eurovision.
What would be your highlights from last night, apart from the sheer physicalness of the noise?
In terms of songs or in terms of these, I mean, I suppose the highlight, number one highlight was, isn't it a massive arena to go running around in order to get into quite late? Because I saw you in the arena, you know, and said, oh, it's fine, it's almost late, I'll get in, it'll be fine. And you were quite clear, no, I think you need to get running now. And it's a big building to run around. So that was a sort of a highlight in a slightly quirky way. But musically, I think, even though I hate them, Gentlemen were really good. Really, really good.
But take away the influence of the UK sample, I think, how Europe are now being receptive to Gentlemen.
Well, I think Europe needs to sort of take a moment, perhaps sit in a dark room and think about what they're doing. But they are, you know, in terms of television and in terms of music, they are a great pop act. And for Ireland, you know, there's this product which, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, they will always get attention. So in Eurovision terms, they have they built their little machine and it will just run and run and run. And in terms of television, it looks brilliant on television. The song, actually, musically speaking, is a little annoying after a while, but it's tub-thumping and you'll always remember Eurovision in 2011 when you play it again.
The thing that scares me more than anything is obviously that they really do have a prospect of winning this. And I wasn't actually sure about them crossing the channel exactly what that relationship with Euro would be, but from the reaction in the press centre, the reaction in the hall last night, the reaction of practically everybody I've spoken to has been more than incredibly favourable towards them, and I actually am quite scared right now.
I'm quite keen to find out what they look like, because obviously they're very sort of quite fantastic skin, porcelain skin. I really want to see what they look like.
This is obviously moisture, because moisture gives you wet and wet gives you beauty.
Yeah, but I just want to see that skin sag.
Well, let's face it, they're only a couple of chickens, let's face it, at the end of the day. I mean, they've really not got much exposure to
natural
outside. So you really the rest of it.
Just for the record, Stephen is talking about Jedward's exposure.
Yes.
Sure, Louis Walsh probably keeps them in small cages like a couple of eels.
Yes, last year, what did we send 2 years ago? We sent a turkey. What were they shooting?
Chickens.
I now have this horrible image in my head, which I will share with the podcast, that if Jed would win, and that's not the image is this time, well, May 26th next year, and we're playing the .02 in Ireland, and the host walks out, and it's Ardal O'Hanlon on a lovely horse.
I think that would be a lovely thing. I think that would just, that would take all of my personal bottle.
It's like a shower of sugar.
Yes, that would be lovely.
A defense to jump over.
Let's have Ireland win.
No. The thing that worries me more than anything is the whole attitude of the UK. I mean, should Jedward win this, it regresses us by 10, 15 years, isn't it?
So, as I said before, regressing 15 years would be a good thing, because that means Katrina and the waves are coming up.
Well, that's maybe true, but I mean,
10 years is Gemini.
I do think we've moved on since then. I'm just a little worried that we're going to end up getting pulled back a little bit by the UK media.
Because Jedward would win.
I think the novelty act idea is always going to be around Eurovision as far as the British press is concerned. I'm not convinced they are actually a novelty act, bizarrely.
No.
But I think that this is exactly what the UK press will latch on to.
This is an excuse for lazy journalism.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, we don't have to do... I don't know what we can do about that. No, I mean, I think that actually it kind of reinvigorates the brand in a way if Jedward wins, because they are a big pop act. They sort of... not legitimised, but they certainly emphasised that in terms of Jedward's narrative, they've started on X Factor in the UK. They were a bit not very good. They've been turned into this really good pop act, and they've potentially won the Eurovision. I think that's
good for the Eurovision brand. But having spoken to Lee Walsh yesterday, the inquiries from America and Japan are now coming in as well. And if they were taking either of those markets, to be honest, I think the Japanese market will be the next one to take. You know, that's a whole phenomenon. And, you know, irrespective of how they're portrayed in the media, for two lads from Ireland who want to sing and dance, you know, that is
that's always a fairy tale. That always a poked out, but I mean, people will always be poked out.
I have rocks around here, sadly. So I'm saying it's the lowest common denominator for them, and that will always be something they pull back on.
Yeah. Let's have a look at the other potential competitors in the grand final just for the last 5 or 10 minutes. It's a running order that really doesn't help us at all here, does it, Samantha? The strong acts are at the start of the draw, which traditionally means they don't score as much, and the slightly weaker acts are the ones that need the help of at the end of the draw or at the end of the draw. Basically, it's like a Laffer curve, isn't it?
It really is.
And if you do your Laffer curve, probably that means that number 13 is Switzerland, and we're all going to Vienna next year.
You mean Geneva?
Yes, surely you mean. What did I go about in Vienna? Did I say
you said Vienna?
Mainly because I try and ignore Ultravox as much as possible. And sometimes little Mitch just pops up and goes, and just yes, but see, I don't need to worry about that anymore.
In the first semifinal, you had this really nice back and forth between these high-powered entries and sort of lower-key, sort of high-energy, low-energy. But I feel like in the final, you're going to have a lot of sort of clumps together. For example, I think Da-Da-Da and Love and Rewind, which are 1 and 2, and New Tomorrow, that's sort of slower.
Like Living the Anthony.
Exactly, exactly. And then you have, Lithuania as well. That's Lithuania. But you have Hungary, Ireland, Sweden, Estonia, and I guess you could also say Greece and Russia. Well, definitely Russia, but to a lesser extent Greece, where it's a much higher energy, a bit more bombast, a bit more. And then you have these three sort of either quirky or lower key. You know, you have Solnu, you have Madness of Love, and then you have Switzerland. And it's you don't have this alternating thing like you did with the semis. So I'm worried what's going to get cancelled out here.
And then you carry on down. You have UK, which is big and brash, and Moldova, which is brash and brash. Germany, which is John David Lynch-esque.
I really like the video. I really like the video, but obviously now that you've asked me the question, I'm sort of, the thing that's in my head is, oh my goodness me, you and I've only heard it once, and that was ages ago, so I don't really want to talk about gambling, because that's kind of like completely idiot. The one thing that is really striking, and I noticed this last night in the arena, is that it's 25 songs. That's not in itself a surprise, but it's going to go for ages, isn't it? And last night, I got to about song 10 and noticed a distinct lull in my enthusiasm for the entire thing. That might have been because the alcohol was wearing off. But no, I mean, I need to punch it. But that's because it's a running order. It's a series of three good acts. This is where my slightly bizarre interest in the Eurovision kicks in, because I see it for what I think it is, which is just, it's just a television programme. And so by song 10, suddenly my interest is waning. I think that's where the songs in the final will really suffer. So Greece, Estonia, which is just a shouty song, Greece, Russia, Shouldn't Wear the Vest, France, I haven't heard.
It's okay, we have the pictures, don't know without his vest.
Without his vest.
Yes.
For it's put more clothes on.
More or less.
What? See, Moldova's there in position 15, that's the most striking song with the headgear. You know, I know the headgear is irrelevant, but actually, in that clump of rather dull songs, they'll be really striking. I think the UK will just slide.
Yeah, I mean, the German song itself is quite an artwork piece, isn't it? I mean, it's something that's going to be very, very haunting. I'm not sure. I'm not actually seeing it rehearsed. I'm not sure how that conveys on the screen.
It conveys very well. It's okay in the arena, but the imaging that they've worked out with screens is this sort of monochrome-esque. There's Kylie in there. There's a bit of Metropolis or Fritz Lang and Noir and Goth in there. As a TV presentation, you know, there is a danger that we could be back in Germany next year.
I think there is. Like, I mean, look at the other remaining songs on here. I mean, I've been saying all along, for good or bad, Iceland is absolutely the one to watch there. And it obviously has been drawn a little bit in the last, 20% of the songs. I think there really is going to be a market for Iceland. Not sure how Reykjavik 2012 would work out. But, and of course, there's Serbia there as well. Of course, it's one of the fan favourites, absolutely. I'm not entirely sure whether it's Belgrade, but I think it's a very interesting end. I really don't like the fact that George is ending the contest. I think that's that's just something that was slightly unfortunate.
I'm going to be the lone hole that here that I really like the Jordan Soul, but I know that it's just me that really likes the Jordan
Soul. I love Georgia.
It's just me and the Americans that like the Jordan Soul.
How much in these days, I mean, obviously we've kind of done any number crunching on this, but does the draw position really matter anymore when you consider that the actual judges can now listen to these songs several times? We do have the ability, of course, to vote right from the very beginning of the contest now. Does it really matter?
Well, we actually have a big article that's by John Kennedy O'Connor back on the website, so I'll refer everybody to
www.com.
But in the meantime, John's rolling his eyes.
We're calling that a shameless
plug. Yes, we are calling that a shameless plug.
Like I'll start it. Okay, I realise I'm going to leave here with probably very few friends if I had anybody else.
Right, let's just ask who's a friend with John already. One hand up. So you've got what you're probably going to want here.
After that, possibly because I was tired, end of the results came in, the running order went down, and people were, and you included, you know, people were leaping around saying, when was the last time that somebody won from sixth place?
At 1957.
Yeah. And the thing is that I don't think it really matters. I don't think it really matters. I think that it's in terms of data and data crunching, it is a fascinating project, and as with any statistics, you can take that data and turn it into whatever you want.
We only have 56 sets, and each one of them has different conditions on each one.
I think the key thing, as you say, is that juries get in before, thank God juries getting in before, because that might actually mean that Ireland don't win. Because musically, I don't think it's very strong.
It did win two out of five juries in the Irish National Final.
That's the Irish National
Final. That is the Irish National Final, yes, and there will be other choice with Nicky Kavanagh. So let's give that a little bit of a bias in there. But if I could say to each of you, what would you change in the running order? You know, I'm just going to put his variety hat on. I'm interested, first of all, to see what the other two gives us. Samantha, if you could do any sort of subtle switching just before we close off the podcast.
Take Ukraine out of Bulgaria in because Balogun of them was robbed.
Second it. And smash hands in the air, American type thing. Stephen?
I would possibly add the Netherlands to that, actually. I was very, very surprised.
Can you switch out for the Netherlands?
Well, in my view, Ukraine. Moldova. I'm not a fan of Moldova. Visually stunning, absolutely amazing, almost hypnotic. But from the actual song perspective,
John, I take out Estonia anyway. For all of it, it's Estonia and possibly Georgia, because on a superficial level, I didn't like the outfits. And I'd possibly move the UK to last, because obviously I'm biased.
But anyway, it has nothing to do with running order.
I have nothing to do with that. I'm certainly not switching people out. I just want to have those countries removed.
So who would you put in?
Contest, I might.
What would you put in their place then?
No, that's the point.
Let's
reduce the running order to 23, and then we can all get this thing over with quickly, and then we can all go home and get on the rest of our lives.
There we go. So if we are getting on with the rest of our lives, you still have a lot of Eurovision content on the site for the contest that you love and hate, John, don't you?
Yes, well, there's another blog post to write today about actually was this trip as going to come across like such a miserable so-and-so. But the question for me,
we had 2 weeks of unbridled enthusiasm. Trust me, this is very
good. Just to check and balance, check and balance. In 2003, I came here and I said it was quite an emotional experience. So this was sort of like a mini trip to see whether I still felt the same way. So there's a blog post about that, and I don't know, some stuff about journalism because I interviewed you yesterday about your journalism. So we'll do something about that.
Well, and the web address for people to find
out that's inevitably because I am www.thoroughlygood.me.
There we go. Samantha.
Hello, thank you for having me on.
Yourself?
Yeah. ESC Insider is the blog, and I also have a puppy out with ESCcast.com, but ESC Insider is my own personal pet project.
I'm Stephen, who's busy collating all new photos for a project that's going to come up in the near future, so we don't have a web address for that yet.
No, it is work in progress, that one.
Okay, so best place to find you would probably be Facebook?
Facebook, yeah, or even contact me ESC Insider as well through you.
There we go. See, avoided the shameless book on my own website. I did it like somebody else.
No, you did actually have your own.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, no, you did that as well. Anyway, I finished that stuff.
Yeah, so you're
embarrassing myself and you. Yeah.
Okay, John, how do we finish the shows?
Okay, I'm a little frightened now. I don't know.
No, no. What's your favourite musical instrument?
It's not a ukulele.
Bigger than a ukulele?
Possibly a guitar.